Well, good morning again. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to see new faces and familiar faces as well. So this morning, as we're reading the scripture, it's a very beautiful scripture that kind of lays out the history of our ancestors and what they've gone through and the things that they've done with God's help in hand, and that through faith they accomplished the mission that they were called to. And so this morning, I just wanted to share a story that happened this past week to me that kind of sets the stage of the message today. So as you guys know, I volunteer at Snack Shack Wednesdays and Fridays. And on Friday, I close at Snack Shack and help clean and things like that. And as I was there Friday, sitting behind the counter, taking people's orders, and giving them their snacks. And I was on my phone at this particular time, and this young man came up to me. His name is Michael. He came up to me, and by the way, we met in the past before, and we've, you know, connected really well. And so he comes up to me today, and he's like, "Hey, Abraham, it's been a long time since I haven't seen you." So, "Yeah, Michael, how are you doing?" And he tells me how he's doing and how life is going for him. And he's about 11 years old. And so he looks at me with a straight look. And he says, out of the blue, we weren't even talking about, you know, Jesus. And he says, "Abraham, why do you believe in Jesus?" And his next question was, "Abraham, how can you prove Jesus is real?" And I sat there caught off guard. I was like, "Whoa, those are some big questions coming from a little, you know, 11-year-old. And to be honest, he caught me off guard and I was blanking for a moment. Then I sat up, you know, with a straight composure, and I said, "Michael." And I told him this: it is simple. I believe in Jesus because he died for my sins. He died for my wrongs, that I would live with him in heaven. And then he says, "Well, how can you prove he's real?" And then I say, I take a moment. And I said, in my heart, I said, "You need to read the Bible, my son." And then the words came to me. And I said something, I mean, this was kind of funny. I was like, "Well, I believe Jesus is real, and the proof that you can prove is because we've never found his bones." That's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, "What? That's a weird answer. You can't find his bones?" And then I said, "No, that's not right. It's not right." And I looked at him again, and I said, "Well, I can't prove you that Jesus is real. I can't prove you that God is real. Who in this room has seen God? If you can show by show of hands, who have seen God face to face?" No one has. And so I looked at him and said, "Michael, I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen God in person. There's this thing called faith. And if you have faith and you believe what you read in the Bible, God will come to you in that shape and way and form." And we left it at that. And our conversation continued about other things. And so this morning, that story, I think, God is using that story to speak today, to set the stage of our faith and how faithful we are to his work and how faithful he is when he calls us to his work. So as you read, as Sherry read, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we, confidence is in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. For this is what the ancestors were commended for. By faith they understood that the universe was formed at God's command, so that was what was seen was not made of what was visible. And so this morning, I thought that we could just be real with ourselves this morning. And that each and every one of us that comes here does have a belief and a faith that there is this God who is here with us and that we worship. And throughout this week, preparing for this sermon, the Lord has been speaking into my heart. As this week, as we gathered on Wednesday to talk about, you know, what is God speaking to us as a congregation? What is the vision that God wants us to imply in our lives and into the community? And I was wrestling with this throughout the week, and something happened Friday. It was about 11 o'clock Friday night. I had kind of like a chest spasm or something in my heart that was just stirring up inside of me, and I didn't know what it was. And I said, "Sherry, I think we need to go to the doctor. You know, we need to go to the ER." And so we rush out the door. We go to the University of UMKC Medical Center. And we get there, and they check me in, and then they said, "Okay, we have a long wait, so we're just going to put you in the waiting room, and then we'll call you whenever we're ready to assist you." About 3.5 hours later, I was like, "Man, you know, they're not going to come. What's going on? I'm over here. I don't know if I'm going to die." It felt like a heart attack. And finally, I looked at my wife. And I said, "I think we should just go." So we got up, and as we were exiting the waiting room, a young man came up and he said, "Hey, we got a room available for you now. Come with me." And so I was like, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." I was about to leave and go home. And throughout this time, I got to admit, there was some doubt in me. There was some doubt saying, "Man, you know, like, if I die, I'm over here thinking that I'm going to have a heart attack, that I'm going to die all of a sudden." And I started having all these doubts that were coming into my mind, into my head, and I was just, "No, it's not true. God loves me." Even when you're going through something like that. And so I go into the room, and I get, you know, dressed, and the nurse comes in, and you know, she puts the what is that thing they put in you? The IV inside of you, and takes my blood, and then they do some x-rays on me. About 2 hours later, the doctor comes in and says, "Well, young man, we don't know what you have. You know, we've tested your blood, we looked at the x-rays, and it's kind of a mystery. We don't know. We don't know what to tell you." When I heard those words, I kind of felt kind of abandoned, kind of like, "Okay, what do I do now?" And so we left. And then the next day was the Saturday, and we had our vision meeting. And I missed that vision meeting. But throughout that day, Saturday, the Lord was speaking to me and said, "Abraham, look at your audience. Look who are the people who come to Argentina in that church." And I'm like, "Okay. I know most of you guys. And I know that there's a huge gap between ages and me and you and my wife." And the Lord says to me, "Abraham, don't forget about them. You need to preach to them. Don't be so focused on, you know, the next thing and forget about your family." And so that really hit me. And so this morning, I kind of want to reuse this scripture that God has allowed for me to speak this morning about there's four stories that I'm going to use this morning. One about Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Moses, and the last one is going to be in Timothy's, where Paul is writing to Timothy. And these stories have something in common. First thing is this: they're all called by God. Second is this: they are faithful in their task, but there's bumps in the roads. But God is faithful. And third, they accomplish their calling. And so this morning, as we read in Hebrews, it talks about Noah. He had the faith to build an ark. Now I can only imagine God coming to Noah and said, "Noah, I want to choose you for a task. And it's going to take about 100 years to do it." I mean, imagine what was going through Noah's head when he said that. 100 years? How am I going to build this ark? I mean, who's going to help me? And about 100 years later, Noah accomplished this task. And still, it took some faith for Noah to realize, okay, you know, this God says this flood is going to come, and he's asked me to kind of go tell the people, saying this to warn them that this flood is coming. And now, kind of jumping to the next story, you have Abraham. God called Abraham, said, "Abraham, Sarah, I want to make this covenant with you. And you're going to have descendants." And then Abraham and Sarah are like, "How? We are very old. My wife can't bear children. How is this possible?" God says, "Don't worry about that. Just have faith in me. What I say is true." Okay, then. So Abraham has faith and believes, and God tells Abraham and Sarah that you'll have descendants numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand and the seas. And not only that, God says, "Well, you're going to go to this land that you can't see. But I'm going to bless your descendants. They're going to own that land." And then so it's true. God did bless Abraham's descendants, and they did eventually receive this land. And going to the next story, Moses. Here you have again, God calls Moses. And you know the story of Moses where the mother, you know, there's a time of persecution and the Egyptians were killing those firstborns. And here you have Moses. The mother of Moses wanted to save the child because there was something different about Moses. And so she rescues Moses by putting him in the river. And he floats away. And there's a beautiful song to that that I won't sing because I don't know the words to it. But anyways, God called Moses, right? Remember the part where Moses runs away from the Egyptians and then he's in the desert? And God confronts him through the burning bush. And God calls Moses and said, "Moses, I have a task for you. I choose you to go and release my people." And Moses is like, "Whoa, you know, how can I do that? How's this possible?" And God says, "I will be with you. Just be faithful, my child, be faithful." And here you know, Moses takes on the task, and eventually the Israelites are relieved from their oppression. And now they're facing this Red Sea. And now they're stuck there because you have the Egyptian army coming after them. And Moses again is like, okay, I can only imagine what he's thinking. Like, "All right, God, you have been faithful to me and we have been faithful to each other. How are you going to get me out of this one?" I can only imagine the conversations they had. Maybe God was saying, "Okay, Moses, just have faith in me. I brought you this far. I didn't bring you out this far so you can be trampled and killed by the Egyptians. What I say is true, my word, you should hold on to." And so, God performs again. The Red Sea's parted, the Israelites walk through. And as you hear in Hebrews 11, that those who are trying to attack them and kill them, the Egyptian army, they drown. The reason why I'm speaking of you, of these stories, is because when I look at you, audience, the crowd, God has revealed to me that you also have that same story. Carlos, I don't know if you can get the PowerPoint on. So Sandeep and I, we gather every Wednesday, and we discuss about, you know, the things that we want to see happen in our community, in our church. And as we were talking and we prayed together, this week we were actually on the website trying to update some things and trying to look at some things. And I stumbled upon our website. It had the photos. And I clicked on the photos and I saw like 100 and some pictures of you guys. And I was like, man, these guys are mighty young. I wonder how long ago this was. And so, I don't know if you can get that up there. And to my surprise, I was like, wow. You know, this church is thriving. This church was filled with a bunch of youth, and I have all these pictures of you guys gathering together. And then, and to be honest with you, coming here to this church, and I see that we're struggling to stay open, struggling to hear God's voice and what He needs us to do now. And then He said, Abraham, look at your people. They're like Moses. They're like Sarah and Abraham. They're like Noah. They were called. They've done their mission. They were called, and you know, and they were faithful to me. And God has been faithful to you guys. And so the Lord also told me, Abraham, you need to encourage them. You need to speak to them. You are young, Abraham, but they are in their years. And this morning, I want to encourage you guys and affirm your faith in God. Because God is faithful. And God has been through every single of your needs, everything that you guys encountered through your life. And even now, I know some who are burdened with either disease or are crippled or fighting something, even me at a young age, fighting this mysterious thing that's happening. And the Lord said, Abraham, turn to 1st and 2nd Timothy's. And during my studies, I'm reading 1st and 2nd Timothy's, and I can feel the message that Paul wants to get out to the young man, Timothy. And as he's writing these letters, I come to tears. If I don't know if you guys know, but at this point of time of Paul's ministry, he's in prison. He's being tortured. And as he's being tortured, he's writing these letters to Timothy saying, hey, my brother in Christ, I want to encourage you. I want to let you know that the time for me has come. And where I'm going, I know where I'm going because God is faithful. And reading through Timothy's, I just got down on my knees and I started praying, God, I can feel what you're telling me. I can feel what you're saying to me, the message that you want me to speak to the people. And that message is this. If you turn to 2 Timothy's chapter 2, I can read it out loud. So in 2 Timothy's, here you have the second letter that Paul writes to Timothy saying, in a very deep, compassionate way of encouragement and telling him not to let go, to keep fighting. You know, people are going to like eventually stray from their faith, but you be a good leader to them. Show them the way. And Paul writes this. He says, here is a trustworthy saying. If you die with him, you will also live with him. If you endure, you will also reign with him. But if you disown him, he will also disown you. If you are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So this morning, I want to encourage you guys that the God that we serve, the God that we worship and love, he is faithful. Even to our times of doubt, even through our times of hardship, we may, like me, I could doubt, I can allow these things to come into my mind. But God was there. From the beginning all the way to the end, God was faithful. He kept me strong. I mean, look at me. I'm still here standing before you guys. It could have been another outcome. And I know that God has been there for you guys as well. And I know recently, you know, our head pastor Sandeep was in a car accident. A different outcome could have happened, but God was there. And God is not done with you, Sandeep. God is going to do great works in you. And great works in this church. Going back to Paul, as Paul is writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what Paul writes. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, whom will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in session and out of session. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them in great numbers to teachers and say to them what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away and from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I, and this is the part that I want to kind of, you guys to hear. Paul is saying, for I am ready, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also all who have longed for his appearing. So a part of this encouragement that God has allowed me to speak into you guys is keep going. Endure. I know right now is a tough time for the congregation in the sense that we don't know what lies ahead. Worse to come, the church doors might close. But does that mean that we stop being faithful to a faithful God? And who knows, if it's God's will that this church will thrive again, its fruits will bear good and produce. But I want you to know, and just imagine with me, Paul in prison. He says to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Reading those words brought me to tears. because I can only imagine going to prison myself and being tortured. I believe, honestly, that there might be some doubts in my head that would come and say, okay, God, when are you coming? You know, I'm enduring this, but when are you coming? But here you have Paul with great faith telling this young man, Timothy, said, you know, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. So this morning, I want to encourage you guys this one last scripture that God has laid on my heart to speak to you guys. That there will be a day where there will be no more suffering, there will be no more pain, that all that we endure doesn't go to shame. And I was reading through this passage. It speaks true. Revelations chapter 21. Here you have the Lord speaking to John through a vision. And it says this: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard in a loud voice from the throne saying, Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making things new. Then he said, Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I don't know about you guys. Coming here to be a part of AMC and to witness all these things that you've guys done in this church, and even encountering those photos, spoke a message to me saying, Abraham, you know, don't give up. Abraham, look at your audience. They've been faithful through the work that, you know, I've given them. And so Abraham encouraged them, and also be encouraged by them. And I want to let you guys know, in Revelations 21, we're all fighting for that goal. We're all fighting that good fight that Paul fought. And even as we read in Hebrews 11, it says at the very end, you know, no one had received their promise because God said there's something better when the second coming of Christ, that we would all, on that day, live together as a family to experience God face to face. And so, I want to encourage you guys. You have been a very great blessing to me. And I hope that I can also return what you guys have given me, in the sense that I would keep the good faith. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to hear your word. And Father, I am grateful and thankful for your people. God, you know their hearts. You know the things that they've gone through over the years, the trials, the hardship. You pull them out of those things, God, and they're here right now with us. Just as you performed, God, through Noah's life, Abraham and Sarah, and Moses, and even to Paul, even to death, God, all the way to death, you were there. You were faithful, God. You cannot deny yourself. You said, I am who I am. And you stick true to your word. So, Father, help us to also be faithful to you as you are faithful to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.